I'm reminded of a little story that my mom shared with me when I was in England. We were waking up pretty early in the morning. It was pretty early. I love those times when I wake up early, when I hear the voice of God. I woke up, and soon after I woke up, my mom came downstairs, and we sat there. We had coffee, and we were just talking. And we were talking a little bit about the times when I was witnessing to my mom. I was living in England, and she was in Mauritius at the time. And we're talking at that time, talking over the phone and sharing what God is doing in my life. And I had no idea what God was doing on the other side of the world, in her life. There's one little part that she shared with me, and I'm going to share with you this morning. And I asked her if I could actually share this way back in England. So maybe she still remember what we talked about. It was a time when, while I was witnessing to her and I'm telling her about Jesus, and there was a church not very far from where we were. And my mom would walk up to that church, not going inside, but staying outside. And she would hear the worship going on from inside of the church. She would stand outside. I know that church because when I was in Mauritius, I went and visited that church. She would stand outside and hear the praise and worship and wanting to go inside. She was a Hindu at the time. Okay? She felt drawn to the worship. She did this for 2 weeks. She would go and be outside and listening to the worship. On the third week, she mustered up enough courage and she walked inside. She walked inside and she experienced the real Jesus. Amen. She experienced the real Jesus. Sometimes what we are doing as we're bridging the gap, as we're witnessing to other people in our family, we might not see the results that we are expecting. But we serve a great God that is working behind the scenes in things that we are not able to comprehend. But yet again, God is working. God was working on my mom's life. I didn't have no idea what God was doing. But yet again, the Holy Spirit was drawing my mom to Jesus. And then when I made the phone call, that was it. She was ready to receive Jesus at that time. We were miles apart, but there was no distance that could separate what God can actually do. God picked up the broken pieces of her life and put it all together. Today I'm so pleased to tell you that my mom and my dad, they serve the living God. They serve the living God. Today we're going to conclude our series on family. We started this on May the 5th. We started this with fight for your family. So I want you to remember this. Your family is not perfect. Your family is far from being perfect. At best, your family might be mediocre. But you have to fight in order to make it what God wants it to be. It's a fight. We started with this series in the book of, not Ecclesiastes, but Nehemiah. Chapter 4, where he talks about fight for your family. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight. Don't just watch. your family fall apart. And be on the sideline and be critical of what is going on and not step in and show the love of Christ. Amen. The opening scripture for this morning is Nehemiah 2:18. And I want you to turn to it or click to it. It's a very important scripture. It talks about family that are not perfect. It talks about family that just don't happen. Families don't just happen. It must be built. It must be built. In this passage, Nehemiah is coming back home. And it is a tough time when he's coming back home because he's seeing with his own eyes the destruction of family. He's seeing the destruction of the church. And he's addressing the people. He's coming back speaking on behalf of the king. He's a prophet. The king gave him permission to go back home to rebuild. And he's addressing his people. And Nehemiah addressed them and he said, "And I told them of the hand of my God." Nehemiah is addressing his people. He's saying, "The hand of my God is upon me. And also the king's word that he has spoken to me." I'm coming in not only with God's hand upon me, but I'm also coming to you with a full backing of the king himself. So they said, after Nehemiah addressed the people became in agreement. They came in agreement with him and they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work to rebuild the family unit. Because families must be built. Families are not perfect. They're not. I wish they were. But they're not. Our family, sometimes we experience separation, physical separation from our family. Sometimes it's spiritual separation from our family. But none of it is foreign to God. God can bridge in that gap. When you listen to God and you follow His prompting on what He's telling you to do and how He's telling you to rebuild, you will rebuild strong. You will rebuild from the foundation up. And your family would become a shelter. Not only for you and your immediate family, but also for those that are around you. Very important that when we look at the family concept, we don't just look at just us. It's way beyond us. Just look at our church. It's way beyond what we started at. Way beyond. God is overtaking that process, if you will. And as we're yielding to His process, as we're yielding to His plan, God is putting together the broken pieces. That song is perfect. He's talking about families that are not perfect, that are broken at times, that God can bring together, can fix, can put the broken pieces together. So don't discard the broken pieces of your life. Amen. Don't look at the broken pieces and say, "God, What's the use? It's broken. God can use those broken pieces and bring life back to it. That's the way God works. How many of you have ever fried an egg? I fried an egg before. How many of you have ever cracked an egg and have a little speck of a shell in there? Many times. You know the best way to get out, to get that little speck of shell out of that egg, once you crack it in the pan, you know what's the best way to get that little speck out? With the broken pieces. The two halves that you've broken, that there's probably little bits in, it's fragmented. But the best way to get that little speck out is to use the broken pieces, the fragmented pieces, and scoop it up. It's almost like a magnet to that little speck of shell that is in there. If you've never tried it, I want you to go home and fry an egg. That's going to be your assignment. Okay? I want you to fry an egg and see, and do it on purpose. You might be a professional at frying an egg, but do it on purpose. Leave a little speck on that egg. And then I want you to take one of the half of that shell and you scoop it up. God can do the same in your life. Where he can scoop up those little specks that you see in your life that might be broken. That you like, you know, what's the use of this? Let me throw away the egg and start fresh. You don't have to do that. God will use what you've got left. What's left in the pan should never be discarded because it can be used by God. That's deep theology right there. We just went Martha Stewart on you guys right now. You know, frying an egg. That's an important thing in the kitchen. If anybody knows, you know, me a little bit, I love spending time in the kitchen. I find myself learning a lot by just slicing carrots and celery and everything else. This is the place where God would speak to me. A lot of time I'm in the kitchen, I can hear God's voice telling me what to do, how to do certain things. Kitchen is my place, my happy place. I love being in the kitchen, and Dawn loves it too when I'm in the kitchen. So families are not perfect. Families don't just happen. They must be built. So how do you build your family? I'm happy you asked. Three things. God's plan. God's name. God's anointing. God's plan. God's name. God's anointing. God's plan is simply this. Before you build anything, what do? You look at the plan. No one would set to do a task without first having a plan on how to do it. How to build a church. You go back and you look at the plan on the blueprint. You say, this is the way that I want this place built. Every time you refer back to the plan. So God says, for I know the plans I have for you. The plans are for good and not for disaster, to give you future and a hope. Don't you just love it when God says, I have a plan, and you don't. You have no clue what to do, and God says, I have a plan. And this plan is good. To give you a hope. To give you a future. God is saying here in this scripture, I have seen your future. And I have declared that future good and full of hope. God is seeing beyond your broken pieces. God is seeing the broken pieces, yes, but he's seeing beyond it. He's seeing the final masterpiece where you can't. When you're looking at your life and you're looking at the broken pieces, all you're focusing on is just what is broken. But God sees beyond what is broken. So each and every time God says, go back to the plan. Because my plan that I have for you, it's good. Amen. It's to give you a hope. It's to give you future. Yes. Because when you look at it, you say, there is no hope. This thing is hopeless. When I looked at my mom and dad's situation way back when, before Christ, during their BC days, after I received Christ, and I look at their life, I was like, wow, could there be hope in this? Could there be life to these broken pieces? And God gave me a glimpse of what he was about to do. God said, there is hope because I have a plan for them that is way beyond what you can see now in the natural. If anybody knows our background, we were practicing Hindus. We were not just Hindus. We were temple-going Hindus. We were the full-fledged Hindus. We were broken. But God said, I have a plan for you. Not just for you, but for you and your family. And I've declared that plan good. It's good. And I've got a future for you to make sure that you have hope. Sometimes that's all we need is a little bit of hope that God can do it. That is the anchor of what we believe. That is the anchor for our soul, is the hope in the gospel of Jesus. The gospel that God can reconcile the brokenhearted, can bring the captive together and set them free. I was a captive for most of my adult life growing up. I just did not know it. I just did not know that I was a prisoner of the enemy. I just did not know this until the eyes of my understanding were open. Then I was like, wow, I can be free. I can be free. And when that, I got a little glimpse of that hope of freedom, I could not let that go. And I was like, this is mine. I'm going to hold on to this hope. And this hope is way too good for me to keep it for myself. And I was like, I'm going to reach out beyond me. To my family. To my friends. And tell them the hope that can only be found in Jesus. It's a plan that God gives us hope, beyond hope. Isn't that what Abraham did? In hope against hope, he believed that he might be the father of many nations. In hope against hope, I believe that me and my household would be saved. Is that what you're believing? Is that what you're believing for your family? When you look around and you're seeing that your family is definitely not perfect. There are flaws everywhere. There are broken pieces everywhere. But can you have hope, beyond hope, that the Word of God will stay true? That you and your household would be saved. When we're talking about household, we're not talking about just mom and dad and brothers. We're talking about cousins. We're talking about aunts. We're talking about extended family members. That's the household. It's way beyond what we can see right here. It's beyond us. It's beyond Kodiak. It's beyond this church. Can we see beyond that? That is the hope that God wants to put inside of us. Here. Here in this place. Here in this church. It is not just for us to have service every single Sunday. It's beyond that. There are other family members down the road that God wants us to reach. And to bring them in. To tell them that God has a plan for them. To give them hope. And a future. Do you guys remember the story of Rahab? When the city was taken by Joshua and his men, she asked not only for her life to be spared, but also the rest of her family. To be spared as well. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was broken. But she was spared. She was spared. God had a plan for Rahab the prostitute. The plan was Jesus. See, a lot of us probably don't realize this. But when you look at the genealogy of Jesus, you'll see the name of Rahab. Rahab is mentioned there. Other people that you probably thought would be in there were not, or are not. But you see Rahab, the prostitute, the one who was broken, was used by God in the master plan. So don't discredit the outcast. Don't discredit the outcast. The one that we might not be spending time with, because God can certainly use them, because God has a plan for the Rahabs. God has a plan for the broken pieces. There are many broken pieces in my family. There are many broken family members. But I stand with hope that God can bring in the broken pieces to make sure that the master plan is fulfilled. It's amazing when I look back and I see what God has done throughout my family. And I'm certain you can recall a whole lot of things that God has done in your family. The broken pieces. Sometimes we don't spend that much time reflecting on those. We've moved on. But the whole thing about the gospel is this: bringing people together. Making, building families together. That is the purpose of the gospel. To bring in groups of people together under the name of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose. That's why we're here as a church. It's very important that we realize this, because without this, we will not fulfill the Great Commission. The one thing that we were commanded to go to do. We will not fulfill that if we just look at just us four and no more. Soon Kodiak will not be enough for us. Soon we're going to need to reach beyond the shores of this island for us to fulfill God's plan for Oceans United. The very name of our church calls for unity. Unity. Unity is important to fulfill the Great Commission. With that unity, we'll be fragmented. But those broken pieces, God can unite them and make them strong, make them one piece again. So don't discredit the outcast. Don't throw away the broken pieces. God can still use them. God can still use them. Don't let religion get in the way. I remember the story of Peter. Peter, right when the very first time when he met Jesus in his boat, Jesus looked at him. And he did this. Don't look at me. I'm a sinful man. He asked Jesus, what would you want to do with me? I'm a broken piece. I'm a mess. But Jesus had a plan for Peter. Jesus had a plan for Peter. Peter was broken, but God used him. In a mighty way. In a mighty way. Number two is God's name. God's name provide us with the walls that would secure us. That would secure what we must do here on earth. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. Your family needs a place of safety. Where God's name is in everything that you do. In everything that you do, the name of Jesus is exalted. Your kids are going to school. Thank you, Jesus, for providing for my kids to be able to go to school and have an education. You're about to do something as a family. You're gathering the family around and you're sitting at a table and you're praying together. The name of Jesus is at the forefront of everything that you do. The name of Jesus would be the security of those walls that those people would run in and will be safe. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. Is your home, is your family a place of safety? Do people run in and call your home a safe place? I want you to think about this. I'll go back to Peter. Peter had the revelation of who Jesus was. Jesus has a conversation with Peter, said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Because everybody else is saying something totally different. Who do you say that I am? And Peter responded and said, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, he said, no one No flesh could have actually revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And he said, upon this revelation, I will build my church. And upon this revelation, we must build our family. It's only the name of Jesus that would stand against every storm that your family would face. Storms are coming. Storms are coming. But when you lift up the name of Jesus above the storms, you will prevail. The waters would not overtake you. The wind will not push you down, will not cause you any harm or destruction, because the walls of the name of Jesus will provide you the protection that you need. Number three is the anointing. The anointing is the covering that you need, the shelter under which you operate. You cannot build a family without the anointing of God. The anointing is that shelter, that roof, if you will, over your head. Securing everything that God is doing. Not allowing the enemy to come in your mind, to contradict what God is doing. To bring in a spirit of confusion, telling you that you're broken. Because the enemy will do that. Will come to you day after day and remind you how broken you are. But when you have the covering of God, you are protected. Your mind is protected. Psalm 91 says this: He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow or the anointing of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. It requires trust to stay under the shelter of the Most High God. You have to trust the place where you are. You have to trust what others are doing. You have to trust the leadership. When you trust, you will be under God's shadow. You will trust what God is doing. He will become your refuge. He will become your fortress. He would become the God in whom you may trust. Without His anointing, you're exposed to the enemy. You're exposed to all kinds of confusion that might come in. But under His shadow, this is what God says. He says, "For I will rescue you from every trap." Every trap that the enemy can lay in front of you, God says, "I will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease." God will keep all those bad things away from you when you are under His shelter. When you are guarded and protected by Him. When you have the walls of His name protecting you. When you have a security of His foundation, which is His plan for your life. You are protected. When you have the anointing as your shelter covering you, you are protected. God will rescue you. God will cover you with His feathers. I will shelter you under my wings. My faithful promise are your armor and your protection. God's promises will become your anchor, your source of hope. They will become your armor Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor of the arrows that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, I want you to listen to this part. These evils will not touch you. None of the plans of the enemy will succeed against God's anointed ones. We are God's anointed ones. In fact, the term Christians mean little anointed ones. We are anointed by God. We are protected by God. Families must be built. I wish I was telling you a different message, that once you give your life to Christ, everything is perfect. That's where you start building. That's where you get the resources that you need to build what God wants you to build. Once you give your life to Christ, you get the revelation of who you are. Then you start applying God's plan. Then you start applying God's name. Then you start applying God's anointing to fulfill what God has called you to do. That's where the work would start. Families must be built. This is the picture that I had in my head. Not too long ago, and I was studying this, and I saw this picture. Picture of a house, picture of a home. God's plan is the foundation. If you don't know that God has a plan for you, you cannot start. You cannot start anything without knowing that you have a plan. The walls are there to protect you, to provide boundaries for you and for me. Those are important. Without proper boundaries, you can allow the enemy to come in at any given point in time. But when you use the name of Jesus, you can keep the enemy at bay. You cannot come in. This is mine. This is mine. When you walk around your property, you're calling on the name of Jesus. 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 Well, by just saying this, you're keeping the enemy at bay. If you've never done this in your home, that's another assignment beside frying an egg. I want you to go home and lay your hands on the walls of your house, upon the perimeter of your property. Jesus, 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 Jesus. By doing this, you are keeping the enemy at bay. You're drawing a line. And you're claiming the territory that God has given to you. Your family is yours. Don't allow the enemy to come in to bring in destruction. You've been given the task, the assignment to do this. Don't let the enemy come and rob you of it. Make it your business to be in your family's business. Every part of it, it's your business. It's my business to be in my kids' business. I need to know. I need to be involved. I need to be speaking the name of Jesus around them. Around everything that they're doing, it's my business. It's my fight. No one else can do this but you. When I was in England, that was high on my agenda, was family. Family was important. That was high on my agenda. I was going there on a mission to bring my mom and dad here to spend a little time with us, because I believe it's borrowed time. And I want to honor them on those few days that I have left with them. I was going there on a mission to actually see some of the other families get saved. It's like I was looking at it and I was looking at pieces that were broken. And I remember looking at all these broken pieces and I'm like, Lord, I don't think I can put them together. It's beyond what I can do by myself. It's funny when you ask God this type of thing and he's able to actually answer right away. And I heard the Holy Spirit. That was like 3 o'clock in the morning. My usual 3 o'clock in the morning is usually when God is actually telling me something deep. He said, you just keep building bridges. And I thought about this for a little bit. I was like, what do you mean? And he said, your job is simply to build bridges based on my unconditional love. You might not even be the one that crosses that bridge to bring them in. Someday it might be somebody else crossing over and bringing them in. And you just have to leave that up to me. See, now when we think about our family, when we see broken pieces, the very first thing that we want to do is fix it. Right? Aren't we like this? When we see a problem, something broken, I got to fix it. And here God was telling me, no, don't worry about fixing it yourself. You just build the bridges. I'll do the fixing. I'll do the fixing. And I had to let go. And say, okay, Jesus. If that's all I do is to build bridges, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to give it my very best. So your job in your own family, I mean, you have all your own situation. Build bridges. Build bridges. Don't worry about the pieces. Let God deal with the pieces. Just like my mom. There were so many fragmented pieces. But Jesus put it together. Like only him, that only he can do. So your job is to keep building those bridges. I know it's a little bit different sermon that I've delivered. But this has been very, very heavy on my heart. Family is important. Don't allow the enemy to come in. please stand. I don't know what the Holy Spirit might be doing now in your heart. I want Him to have His way better than I can. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, we draw near to you. You fix the broken pieces, Lord God. You pull them together like only you can. Help us to get out of the way. Lord, we allow you full access. Full access. You see our thoughts. You see our darkest secrets. You know our pain. Lord, we yield to you. Have your way. Have your way. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we know that even now, Lord God, you bring into our remembrance a family face, a name. Lord, help us build those bridges to them. Seated. In just a little bit, we're going to celebrate with others baptism. We have seven getting baptized, and I'm going to get myself ready too.
You know, you were talking about family, and I'm thinking us cheering on your family. You know what I mean? That's what that's what's so exciting and wonderful about the baptism is that you're cheering on your family here in this place. And those of our family members that have already gotten baptized just recently, they have their shirt and their sport and their shirt today in full support of everyone. So we want you to shout and holler like you're at the best soccer game or football game or hockey game or whatever your sport is, baseball, softball. I don't know, miss anything? I don't know. Basketball, track, cross country, volleyball, all of it. Shout and holler, cheer for them, and celebrate with them. Would all of those that are getting baptized, would they come on up right over here? Is that okay? And then what we'll do is we're just going to kind of extend your hands and pray over them, and then we'll show a little video before the party starts. Does that sound all right? they might be changing their clothes. Maybe we'll do the video first and then we'll pray. Give them a couple more minutes to change their clothes. So.